publicly in our shops as the union, standing with our coworkers, demonstrating our strength. And then on Friday, we received this letter with our paychecks. And the letter looked like they had Googled union busting and copied and pasted the first thing they found. It was intimidating, it was confusing, it talked about the union as a third party, it talked about how organizers were gonna come knocking at your door and distracting you at home, it talked about how there might be this scary thing called a union election, and Amy pointed out that there was a bunch of sentences bolded, and every sentence that was bolded had the phrase, "don't sign an authorization card" in it. So, the letter also had a very important point. It said that Burgerville does not agree that the union is in the interests of the employees in Burgerville. Which they didn't have to say, right? They could have been vague, they could have been confusing, they could have tried to just stay on the fence, but they said clearly that they're against the union.
The Burgerville Workers Union responded to the letter issued by management by posting an infographic in the workplace in order to set the record straight and ease any misgivings that might have been spread by the company letter. Lewis explains what else happened that day.
And so, and then on the same day, we had a delegation of faith leaders saying that they stood with Burgerville and saying that they didn't stay, that they wanted Burgerville to choose a different path than this anti-union path they've been choosing. So we've gotten our friends together, and specifically we've gotten our friends and organizations together who represent even more friends. And we want to go to Burgerville, and we want to tell them with strength, but with civility, that they're going down this path, that they don't have to continue down this path, that the door is still wide open, and that we want a better Burgerville, and that all of us want a better Burgerville and a better Portland.
The delegation then set off down the street to the Burgerville headquarters office. The delegation filters into the lobby, but only a fraction can actually fit inside. Union supporters stand outside against the tinted window, holding a huge Burgerville Workers Union banner. Back inside, two staff working at the reception desk, looking semi-surprised, inform the delegation that the executive staff is off-site at a meeting somewhere in Portland. Then, quiet fills the room.
Hey, Beth, it's Muriel. Yeah. Okay, that's what we told them. Okay. No, they're all here still. I mean, there's like probably 30 of them outside. In here.
After collecting themselves, union organizers ask for the highest ranking staff to come out and receive the message from the delegation.
Do you guys have a written message you can deliver?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which we plan on reading.
Okay. We have Angie here as well, so.
Hi.
Okay,
hi.
Thanks.
Hi.
Community supporters in the delegation introduce themselves to the Burgerville admins on the other side of the reception desk.
In solidarity with workers at Burgerville that have organized under the Burgerville Workers Union.
Okay.
And I'm going to give them the floor to talk about why we're here today.
Great. Yeah.
So we're here in response to the anti-union letter that was sent out on Friday. Mm-hmm. We are here to deliver our message of response with support from our supporting organizations.
Great.
So I kind of want to just introduce the folks that are in solidarity with these workers so you know that there's a whole community that are behind these workers. Barney, do you want to just say your name, organization, and...
Representatives from the following organizations took turns introducing themselves and pledging their support to the Burgerville Workers Union. International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, Local 28, Unite Here, Local 8, Christian Church Disciples of Christ, the Bernie Sanders Campaign, the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, Local Number 5, Portland Association of Teachers, Portland Tenants United, Service Employees International Union, the All African People's Revolutionary Party, Portland Jobs with Justice, American Postal Workers Union, the Archdiocese of Portland, and those were only the ones that were able to fit inside the cramped lobby.
In the Portland metro area, representing over 120 organizations, faith leaders.
About midway through the introductions, a Burgerville staffer comes forward to ask the delegation to leave.
We need to interrupt this.
We just have a few more. There's just a few more people and a couple of workers that want to speak.
We appreciate that, but the time is over. We need to ask you to leave the lobby.
I actually appreciate
Father Jack. If you walked outside the door, we would listen to you. But
you're
going to
go outside with me?
Sure.
Okay. All of you?
I can't speak.
All of you, come on outside.
Yeah, I'd be happy to come outside.
John and I'll go.
Yeah.
So anyway,
we don't have anyone in the senior management here today. They're at an offsite meeting.
Right.
And, we're trying to limit any disruptions here.
We're your customers.
We can't even be in here.
So you're asking your customers to leave.
I want to take 1 minute to tell you that I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Portland, and we stand for workers and for a living family wage.
I will in a minute.
And we stand for living family wage for all workers. And that provides a dignity for the workers so they can care for their families, so that they can have a future, which I think is the responsibility of the company to take care of that and to work for that with all workers. So we support that. That's strongly.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
And so
I'm Jennifer Graham. I'm with Unite Care Local 8. We represent 5,500 workers in this region.
Eventually, the staffer heard asking the Burgerville Workers Union and its supporters to leave the lobby fled the room herself. In the wake of her exit, Burgerville worker and organizer Lewis Brennan introduced himself to the administrators and miscellaneous staff from the headquarters that happened to still be present in the room and read the official union letter of response aloud.
The workers of your establishment deliver this letter.
I wanted us to hear you, so you gave us a letter, but you don't want him to read his letter. That's all we're here for.
So I'm going to read the letter, let you guys know what we feel. And can you remind me of your name again?
I'm John.
John.
Yeah.
Do you have a last name or do you not want to give it?
Worker organizers Jordan and Lewis present the union's official response to a staffer who identifies himself as John. In the letter, the Burgerville Workers Union expresses disappointment that the company feels that union representation isn't in the best interest of its employees. They also lament that Burgerville has embarked down an anti-union path, one in which the company chose to fight the union instead of sitting down to discuss working wages and conditions and room for improvement. The letter also draws attention to the tactics that Burgerville's letter used to confuse, scare, and mislead its employees by painting the union as a third party instead of a collective of its own employees. Then, the union's letter quotes Burgerville CEO Jeff Harvey.
Quote, along with great food comes responsibility to ensure people have access to that food. With self-reliance, communities can break free of the pattern of hunger and poverty. Our commitment is to do everything we can as a business and as a business leader to help create and promote sustainable self-reliant systems and structures of our communities. You can count on that from Burgerville. That was a quote from Jeff Hardy. We are here to call on Burgerville to uphold this vision.
Outside, after the letter was read and presented to the highest ranking staff available, I interviewed some worker organizers in the delegation. Here's Jordan Bandering, a worker at Vancouver Plaza. I asked him if he got the impression that Burgerville staff at headquarters prepared for the delegation by scheduling a meeting intentionally.
You know, like, it's funny, like every time we make our way down here, the executives are, you know, mysteriously absent. And all they can find is like a lower level manager to take our message. And, you know, I don't know if they're here. I don't know if they're actually somewhere else. I don't know if it's on purpose. But this is the only option we have to contact them. Last time we were here on the last delegation, we asked for somebody to follow up with. And they told us that they're not sure who that would be and that we should just come to home office if we need to contact somebody. And we keep doing that, and it's not working out. So
it seems like some sort of tactic of evasion.
Yeah, definitely.
What's the next plan?
We're not sure yet. I think it's time to sit back down and maybe reassess.
My name's Lewis.
Then I talked to Lewis Brennan, who read the letter, and his co-worker, Shaquita McClendon. Both work at the airport location.
My name is Shaquita McClendon. I work at the Portland Airport Burgerville, and I work cashier and grill.
Shaquita describes being caught off guard when she was given the anti-union letter by her shop manager in the middle of her shift.
For me, it was pretty annoying. It's like, oh, you can't take up our time, but when my boss gave me the letter. I was in the middle of making a sandwich, and she's like, hey, I want you to have this letter. I don't want you to read it here. Read it on your off time. So I had to take the letter, take off my gloves, go put it in my bag, wash my hands, and then go back to making the sandwich. And it's like, why couldn't you just give it to me when I was leaving? Like, you say stuff to me when I'm leaving, you give me my pay stub when I'm leaving. It's like it couldn't wait or something. It was just...
Both Shaquita and Lewis said that they were disappointed that Burgerville has started down the path of being against the union instead of working in cooperation with them. They said that the management's dismissal of the union as somehow not a good idea is perplexing and unfortunate. It seems to say that their interests don't matter much. I asked what happens after things like today, when Burgerville doesn't respond to gestures of organized diplomacy.
I mean, I think that that we just have to show them that Portland stands behind us and wants to see a better Burgerville also. You know, I think that we need to continue doing what we're doing, which is gaining support in the community, gaining support of strong organizations, and showing that we have that strength, and hopefully they'll see the light.
Any comment on that?
Shaquita told me that on top of being short-staffed during peak business hours, it's difficult to engage directly with restaurant management to talk about troubling workplace issues like scheduling and staffing.
And then they're like, listen to what I have to say, but then when you want to talk, like even if it's for 2 minutes and 30 seconds, it's like, nope, I don't want to hear it, we don't want to hear it. We're talking about the union and at work, and one of the kids was listening in on it. He's like a high schooler, and he walked up to a manager and was like, hey, have you heard about the Burgerville Workers Union? And she's just like, I can't talk to you about that. Like, and he just goes on and on telling her about it. And she's just like, I can listen, but I can't say anything back to you. Now, I just feel like now every time I say something to my manager, she's like, oh, you don't like that? We'll call HR. And it's not me approaching her as like, I don't like this. It's me approaching her as, this is our problem and this is how I think we can fix it. Even if it's like, oh, we have four service people, let's bring one person back to grill. She's like, oh, you don't like there's four service people? Call HR. But I just feel that HR is just like, whatever, the workers are just acting out because they started this union. And it's not that at all. It's the managers taking our words and twisting it to make it look like that in the stores the unions are bad. And I feel like they're getting that from corporate, like, do anything you can to portray the union as a bad thing so that way we can show the community that it's a bad thing even when it's not.
What's clear from the meeting between workers and corporate is that there's a ways to go before terms can be discussed. For the moment, it seems to now be a matter of whether Burgerville will come to the table amicably, as its friendly and generally positive reputation has many assuming it would have from the beginning. Here's Lewis again, on why the union will be crucial in the struggle to improve workers' lives moving forward.
There are no opportunities for workers to have a collective voice with management. I mean, there's meetings every once in a while that are around the healthcare benefits, but, you know, we took a little bit of their time today for them to hear from us, and they wouldn't allow it, and we hear from them every day. I mean, I think that management can be... they try really hard to be nice, but there's just a conflict there, you know? They're looking after the company's interests and we're looking after our interests, and that's why we need the union, because those interests are different, and we've got to have our back just like they have their back. And that's the only way. The union raises us to eye level with the boss, and until we have that, then there's no fairness at work.
With KBOO News, I'm Kanan Schlesinger.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:58. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio. KBOO Community Radio is proud to be a founding sponsor of the Waterfront Blues Festival. The 29th annual festival takes place this year from July 1st through 4th. And includes performers like the Tedeschi Truck Band, Jimmy Vaughn and the Tilt-A-Whirl Band, Samantha Fish, and many, many more. Festival passes are on sale at early bird prices until May 31st. More information about the festival performers, the options for passes, and other information can be found at kboo.fm/WBF2016.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Friends of Noise launch party on Sunday, May 22nd at 5:30 at Los Prados Event Hall in St. John's. Friends of Noise is a new Portland-based nonprofit sponsoring all ages shows while working towards a brick-and-mortar space for youth to learn about the music industry. The kickoff event will feature performances by the Doo Doo Funk All-Stars, Neo Geo, Drex Porter, and Gem Dynasty. Again, that's the Friends of Noise All Ages Launch Party, Sunday, May 22nd, with doors opening at 5:30 p.m., the show starting at 6:30 p.m., at Los Prados Event Hall, 10105 North Lombard Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Community Radio is proud to be a founding sponsor of the Waterfront Blues Festival. The 29th annual festival takes place this year from July 1st through 4th and includes performers like the Tedeschi Truck Band, Jimmy Vaughn and the Tilt-A-Whirl Band, Samantha Fish, and many, many more. Festival passes are on sale at early bird prices until May 31st. More information about the festival performers, the options for passes, and other information can be found at kboo.fm